medlemmarna som arbetat tillsammans sedan 2005.
There was a time I used to look into my father's eyes. In a happy home, I was a king, I had a golden throne. Those days are gone, now the memories on the wall. I hear the songs from the places where I was born.
Lisa Live.
Don't you worry, don't you worry, child. She has got a plan for you. Don't you worry, don't you worry now. Yeah.
Alive in Jesus and living in the power of the Holy Spirit. I have a live studio guest with me. Her name is Julie McEwen. She's Bruce McEwen's wife. So we're going to hear all about what she's been getting up to there in Scotland and a little bit about her and her testimony. I am so happy to tell you that we have Julie here. Julie, can you hear me? Hello, Julie.
Hi.
The good news is this, is that I don't say too much here. I want to hear from you. You've got so much to share, and I know that you've just come back from work. So, Julie, would you like to share your testimony, share the things the Lord has shared on your heart? The listener knows already that you are Bruce's wife, that you are from Edinburgh, and that you've been married quite a long time now. You have a son called Lawson, but you're born-again believer. You've got such a testimony. You're also a nurse, aren't you?
I'm a carer.
You're
I'm
a carer.
Not so qualified as a nurse, but I'm a carer in a care home setting, in a pastoral care role now. I used to be a carer. I now do one-to-one pastoral care.
That's amazing. That to me is still nursing. I understand what you mean about that. Yeah, not the qualification of a nurse, but actually you're nursing. So that's wonderful. But I want to get out the way. So would you like to just share as much as you can?
Thank you for the opportunity, Chair. I think really just summary, I can start with my earliest years. I was born in 71, so fast approaching my 52nd birthday. And sadly, my birth father passed away when I was just two. His car was found running on the Forth Road Bridge in Edinburgh, Scotland, in late November. And sadly, he was not found until early January. And so, as you can imagine, that caused an awful lot of grief and upset for his wife, my mother, as well as his family and friends. And I'm sure the not knowing, although perhaps perceiving what the outcome was going to be, must have been dreadful. Mm. Anyway, as a result of those early traumas, I think my mother must have been very heartbroken. But she did go on to meet my stepfather. Mm-hmm. And they married. Now, for reasons perhaps as a child I felt displaced, mm-hmm. I rejected him. I didn't like my stepfather, and I can, as far back as I remember, recall really hardening my heart towards him. I blamed him for my not having focused attention and love and affirmation, perhaps, from my mother, and I think, stepped back from interacting in family events and opportunities from a young age. I didn't really engage. I became a bit withdrawn. I, from as early as I can remember, was a thumbsucker. So even in those early days, I was seeking comfort in other things. And as I did get older and moved into my teenage years, unfortunately, that took a more sinister source, because I then started to look for comfort in all the wrong things. And that initially started with my smoking as a young teenager. And then I started to drink. and I really was misusing as much as I could to try and help me feel better, to numb those feelings of isolation, perhaps. So
we're still here.
I moved on into my next stage of life, where boys started to take interest, and I liked the attention I was getting.
Yes.
I didn't have a sense of value, and I didn't have a sense of belonging. Mm. So when I got the attention from boys at a young age, this felt great. I suddenly felt like I had some value.
Mm.
Unfortunately, I didn't realise that that was misplaced.
Yes.
And so I entered into relationships at far too young an age and became sexually active far too young.
Right.
Again, I had the hopes and dreams of many young girls that my knight in shining armour was going to come and rescue me.
Yes.
But it was a deception, like the other things I was going to fill that hole in my heart. It didn't, and those basically encounters were not what I hoped they would be. And so I had issues with depression, and I had issues with substance abuse.
Okay.
As well as that, I unfortunately became pregnant between 16 and 17 years old.
Wow.
And really didn't have the support around me to help me understand why things were going so wrong in my life. And having been through issues at school, I was dyslexic, and I really had no self-worth and no self-esteem. It seemed to me like there was a problem with me. I wasn't loved. I didn't fit in. I didn't have a sense of value. And I was looking, searching for, I guess, that sense of value. So just to confirm that you're still with me.
We're here.
Lisa,
we want to hear you.
So moving on, as I grew older, I had thoughts of ending my own life. Unfortunately, due to the fact, fortunately, because of the way in which my father had passed away, I didn't feel I could put my mother through such another experience. So I started to seek again the highs through substance, and I also started to look for and search for meaning in all the wrong areas, which included going down the route of spiritualists and Reiki, tarot readings. I just wanted a sense of there being something more, something other than this world. And I had a string of jobs, and whilst I was successful within my career and I earned money, I moved into the motor trade, which had been my stepfather's, basically, he was in the motor trade.
Right.
And I guess I didn't work for him, but I wanted to prove myself, and so I went into the motor trade. And back then, car saleswomen were not something that was common, and so I had struggles, as you would imagine, in that male environment also. I did become successful. I ended up with my own house and I had a nice car, but again, none of this was satisfying. And having had a string of failed relationships one after another, I was still feeling very dejected. I then had an opportunity for a job that moved me up north, and so I moved north from Edinburgh to Aviemore, and this offered an opportunity of a fresh start. And it was when I moved to Aviemore that I came to meet somebody. She was the wife of my window cleaner. And I think he had understood that I had issues and was isolated. And whilst I was doing well within my career, I had moved from my hometown and hadn't met people. And as I got to know her, I was still drinking heavily. I was still using substances. But she shared with me her faith. She didn't share with me her religion. She shared with me how she had a relationship with God. And she told me of how she'd come to know God as her father. And that's, I think, what got my attention. And whilst I was listening to her, there was part of me that was rejecting elements of what she was saying as well. But the father element was the one thing that I kept coming back to. And she told me that I could know God as a father, that if I cried out to him and gave him all my concerns and all the burdens which had come with me, I thought I was going to have a fresh start coming from Edinburgh, a new job. I could leave all those issues behind. No one knew me, but the burdens came with me because I was carrying them. And so wherever I was, they were going to show up. And I was going to continually try to suppress them with the same substances, and that wasn't good.
Yeah.
And she told me of how I could come to know Jesus, and he gave his life for me, that I might be set free from the burdens. I admit at that time, I found that a bit antagonizing. I wasn't open to the prospect of Jesus. I had heard that in religion, and the wall was up. But again, the Father kept coming through. The prospect of knowing God as Father was what brought me into a faith. And when I got tragic news that my Nana, who I did have a loving relationship with and who was really my rock, had suddenly taken ill, I found myself on my knees and I cried out, and all the words that my friend had spoken to me of how I could come to know God as Father, as he would listen to my prayers and he would respond to me, I cried out, God, just let me get to my Nana's bedside and tell her I love her and I will follow you. And I asked for forgiveness for the ways in which I'd been living. I had a true sense of those decisions I'd made being wrong, how I'd treated others, how I'd treated myself. And I was overcome with a sense of conviction.
Hallelujah.
But equally a sense of hope that I would come to know God as Father.
Amen.
God answered my prayers. I managed to get down the following morning to see my Nana. After nurses telling me on the telephone all night that she wouldn't make it through, I got there and I told her I loved her. And I was able to tell her that I had invited Jesus into my heart, and she had known a faith for the majority of her life.
Yes.
And that was a blessing just before she passed.
Answer to prayer.
But I also was able to pray for her. And that happened, I believe, because God guided me, not because I had the word, but because he gave me the word.
Amen.
And I was able to feel a sense of peace come over her.
Yeah.
And the pain was taken. And she was surrounded by her family when she passed. And that was the birth of me coming to know God as Father.
Wow.
I wasn't cleaned up overnight. There were still issues. God was going to lead me through a journey.
Yes.
And I was going to come to know a great deal of heartache. I unfortunately married and came to have issues within that marriage. And, you know, being in the family of God didn't mean that I wasn't still in this world and going to go through struggles. But with God's strength, he brought me through. And gradually, I've been set free from those things that entangled me for so very long.
Yes.
And best of all, I've come to know the truth of the fact that God is my Father.
Amen.
And if you don't mind, I'm going to read something that really spoke to me in those early days.
Go
and
ahead.
That's from Ephesians 1.
Amen. One of my favourites.
And that is in Ephesians 1, verse 4. Even before he made the world, God loved me.
Amen.
And he chose me in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt me into his own family by bringing me to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. And that just was incredible. I came to know that I had been adopted and that I belonged and that God has a purpose for my life. And as I came to read the Bible, and I came to learn more about what he has to say to me through the Bible.
Yes.
As his living word, as his love letter to me. I came to know my value to God. And that gave me a sense of purpose where I didn't have any. And a sense of belonging in the family of God. And
absolutely.
I needed that.
Julie, it's absolutely beautiful. But the fact that you've gone from that broken place of not knowing who you were in him to being introduced to the Father through the Son, working things out, but actually him giving you your heart's desires with your Nan and, you know, the transitional period and taking you from those broken places is just a testament of who Father is. So that happened. Then you met Bruce as well, and that's like another side of the restoration.
When I moved to Aviemore, I got involved with a chap who I didn't really get to know properly, and we had married after finding out we were pregnant. Subsequently, he had his own issues, and I make the joke that he didn't realise he was meant to stop dating after we got married, and that became a problem.
Oh,
and God revealed that to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I was saved,
mm-hmm.
and I had the strength and love and support of God as I went through those situations. We subsequently divorced.
Right.
And my son and I were both going to church.
Yes.
And it was when I was down at a conference in Edinburgh a couple of years later that we met Bruce, who was a friend and in a group at a conference that we were attending. And when I was in Edinburgh, I would attend the same church as Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
And my son and he connected so well. I would say that they actually had a love between them long before I was ready to even consider that.
That's
God
cool.
gave Bruce a father's heart for my son Lawson.
Mm-hmm.
And my son Lawson came to me one day and said, "Mummy, I've been praying to God to send a man who will love you the way you deserve to be loved and be a daddy to me. And I think that's him."
Wow.
And I was mortified. And I certainly wasn't at the stage to consider such a thing. I was kind of convicted it was going to be me and God, and that was all. However, a year later, we got engaged and we asked our son to be our best man. Obviously not on paper, but he was in the role of carrying the ring and making sure it didn't get dropped. And, you know, we've come together as a family and we've gone through the teenage years. Lawson's now 19 and, you know, has left the family home. But, you know, as a family, God brought us back to a place of knowing him as being the center of the family, the Godhead
Amen.
Of the family. And so because we've known God, all of us, and come to know him as being the I would say the center,
Amen.
You know, the center stone, in the same way that they talk about there needing to be in the foundations, that cornerstone.
Oh,
well, I think it's God that's kept us together. And we've had our challenges, but, you know, we're so blessed.
You're so blessed.
There's so much more I could say. And one very important thing is that when I came to faith, I prayed very specifically to God to give me a new heart. I was aware that I'd hardened my heart over the years after everything I'd been through, and I was struggling to love. And as a result of being through some difficult circumstances within my first marriage, especially in the early stages, and then subsequently coming to faith and discovering there was more deception, I needed God to help me in every way possible.
Yes.
So I asked God, "Will you take away my hardened heart and will you give me a new heart?"
Amen.
And I said, "Better still, God, will you give me your heart?
Mm-hmm.
Because then it will be a good heart."
Amen.
So I often say I went under the knife. I can't say exactly when. It certainly wasn't painless.
No.
But I came to know a love and a grace that I hadn't known before.
Mm.
So when subsequently, towards the end of my first marriage, it became apparent that there were multiple girls who had been in relationship with my husband throughout my marriage, both before and then after my son had been born,
wow.
as well as when I was grieving the loss of my Nana.
Mm-hmm.
It was the most heartbreaking time.
Aww.
And gradually, God brought the truth to my door. These girls appeared asking me to confirm that I was, in fact, still with my husband. They had
right.
hoped for a marriage and a future with him themselves, thinking
yes.
I had separated from him.
Mm.
And although I was mourning, God gave me the grace to
oh.
pray for them.
Oh.
But most of all, here I discovered that these girls didn't know who they were. They didn't know their identity.
Mm.
They too had been deceived.
Mm-hmm.
They too were looking for that hole in their hearts to be fulfilled through relationships and an appropriate relationship.
Right.
And what God was able to do was to give me the strength and the assurance that he was with me and to hold my hand as I showed mercy, his grace and his love to these girls.
Mm.
And that's given me a heart to really share with young women who they are, the value that we have in knowing our identity in God, that relationship will not fill that hole unless that is a God-shaped relationship.
Amen,
and
amen.
I talk about God filling my God-shaped hole in my heart.
Yes.
And just as he brought Bruce into my life, which has brought me a great deal of healing and love, at the right time, he will do that for them.
Oh.
And I wanted to mention a lovely film, which is called The Overcomer.
Yeah.
And in The Overcomer, it talks about us having a sense of value.
Yes.
And again, knowing who we are and our identity and being a child of God.
Oh, my.
And that's really my passion,
oh.
to speak of God's love to other women to know their value.
Julie, all I can say is there are women that are listening today who have been in your position and perhaps are still going through that. What a story of restoration. And it's all about knowing who you are in him, the Father's love in you. So, Julie, I would like you to pray, please, for those who do not know who they are yet in Christ, those who've been in broken relationships, broken homes, whatever it is that the Lord would share, and we will receive and agree with you in Jesus' name.
Oh, Father, thank you that you are so personal, that you will reach into the most desperate circumstances. Mm-hmm. You will reach into the very brokenness between relationships, and you will bring light in what seems to be the darkest of circumstances. Mm-hmm. Lord Father, I pray that just as you have done for me, you mm-hmm. will do for those women who are listening, who have perhaps been through betrayal, mm-hmm. who have known the desperation mm-hmm. of broken families and seen the circumstances and the effects of that on their children. Mm. Father, first and foremost, I pray for those women who are maybe going through these circumstances right mm. now. Lord, I pray that you bring them to know your hand mm. in their life, your love. Help them to know that you are with them mm. and give them a sense of value.
Yes, Lord.
Speak into their lives of the fact that you are their father, and they are precious unto you. They are your daughters. Help them to know their value is found in you, Lord Jesus. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord in Jesus' mighty, precious name. Listener, then you agree in the name of Jesus. It says where two or more are gathered in his name, he is in the midst. Amen. Julie, you have such a beautiful story of true restoration and transformation. And both you and Bruce are a living testament to the power of Jesus Christ and the love that is shed abroad in your heart through what you have endured is evident for the listener, including me. So I want to encourage you to keep sharing what it is that you've been doing, because people are going to receive a life-changing experience through the testimony of you. And it says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And the word of our testimony. And there is an inner peace with you as well, which is wonderful. You might not think that, but there is.
Oh,
you might not feel it at times, but there is an inner peace coming through your voice. Hallelujah. It is his voice coming through you, and it is that inner peace that is ministering direct to those who are listening right now. So we honour you and we thank you, and I would definitely love to talk with you again, bring you back.
Yeah, that would be lovely.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Can I give you one more little nugget of beauty?
Of course you can.
One of the girls who had been in a relationship with my ex-husband came to know the Father,
yes,
gave her life to the Lord, and was Bruce and Mai's bridesmaid.
Wow.
And has just given birth to her first child.
Oh.
And is now in a Christian marriage. And the testimony of that,
wow,
I get to witness every day, and it's just beautiful.
It's the power of
but
love.
I had to be willing to yield to God's leading. That was only in his strength that could happen.
Only through
him.
So
there's hope for us all in the darkest of circumstances. Please don't give up. Please have hope.
Please, could you just pray for the listener for the ability to be able to ask the Father to forgive? Because it was through your forgiveness for them that he healed them.
Yeah. Father, I recall sitting, hearing what a wife shouldn't have to hear.
Mm.
And in those circumstances, I recall you urging me to pray for this girl, to pray that she might come to know you as I had.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, that took an act of being willing to yield to you and to your will. Father, forgiveness was something that was going to take a process.
Mm-hmm.
It was a choice to act according to your will. So I pray that the listeners and anyone that's going through something similar
mm-hmm.
just yields their heart to you and has a reigning ear to hear
mm-hmm.
your direction, Lord.
Okay.
Not to look for the advice of man.
Mm-hmm.
Well-meaning advice is worth nothing compared to the sound and sure voice of God. That they might too walk the path to forgiveness in yielding and being willing to. And so I pray for hearts to open, hearts to receive your love and to convey that to others in Jesus' name.
In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Julie, thank you so much. Send our regards to Bruce and to Lawson. And we look forward to catching up with you soon. We're going to put a track on right now by Cody Carnes, Close to You. But Julie, I want to thank you in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye, honey. Bye-bye. Bye. If you want to contact Julie, you can. Her email address is this, Julie Russell, RUSSELL, Julie Russell at btinternet.com. Okay. Or you can contact Bruce. You know Bruce McEwen, he's got boots on the ground. But I've got a track here, Hope Darst, Set Free. This is for you, Julie. So let's see what this is. Live.